Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Walk with me around the backyard and let's get started in our outdoor living hour with Mr. Jay Harper of Harper's Nursery. We have, let's see, what has he got laid out? Looks like he's got a hula hoe. That's for his neighbor that didn't pre-emerge. He's going to let him borrow it.
I got Rosie's torch.
Got a chainsaw. Looks like we got some potting soil.
There might be some lawn fertilizer weeds getting big enough in some people's houses. They need a chainsaw to cut them down.
Why are you looking at me?
Or a goat.
A goat. If you'd like to join the conversation about anything that you've got planned for your outdoor living space or garden, landscape, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions to 411-923 or email pictures to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Which one of these projects should we start with this morning?
Well, you know, we're kidding about weeds, but there are some yards that are just moments away from being overgrown, taken over. And you probably want to get on those while they're still green and before we start turning them to brown and you have all kinds of other issues. Plus, if you let them go too long, they go to seed and you're just going to have more weeds next year, next go around. So weeds are always easiest to control when they're small and young and tender and green, whether you're hula hoeing them or pulling them or spraying them or burning them, however you want to get rid of them. Do it before they go to seed and start spreading, or before you have a fire hazard or before the city's on your back forcing you to do it. It's never too late to put pre-emergent down. I mean, we're now going to probably start applying pre-emergent to prevent the more summer weeds like spurge. So weeds and cleanup and pruning, if you haven't pruned back yet, you know, things are starting to push new growth. You definitely want to get your pruning done ASAP. It's time to fertilize everything. There really isn't anything in your yard that shouldn't be fertilized. Citrus is starting to flower and bloom, so you want to get some fertilizer on there really quick if you haven't already. And, of course, it's time to plant. I mean, we're talking about plant something today and planting, and you know, it's spring is upon us in case you hadn't been outside in the last week or so.
And Cheryl would really like us to plant something with lots of pollen in it for her.
Yeah,
right?
Well, we're all in that boat, I think. It's also going to be a great allergy year, that's for sure, right?
No doubt. Just plant something. We have Cheryl from the Arizona Nursery Association. As you mentioned, you can fertilize everything, but you can also plant just about everything.
Pretty near. Now, you know, we still have some people coming in wanting to plant things, you know, like some of the leafy greens and those. You're too late for that stuff. We're switching guns. We're tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, squash, eggplant, you know, those types of vegetables now. So switching over to spring and summer vegetables. But other than that, all the tropicals, the stuff that I don't think we have to worry about it freezing again. I think we can venture out into hibiscus and lantana and bougainvillea and, of course, fruit trees and roses and, gosh, you know, we take the whole show just doing the list of what you could plant now.
And it's a great opportunity if you're in a part or new to the valley. You can go to a website, plant-something.org, type in your zip code, and you guys have a great resource there for homeowners and consumers.
Yeah, locate your garden center on that website. And then you'll know where to go, get some advice, go look at some plants, see what looks really good right now, and get out there and plant something.
You know, Donna was talking in the earlier hour about xeriscaping and a plan. You know, whether you draw a plan or have somebody draw it for you, have that plan checked at your local nursery, go to that list. Find a local garden center. Take a little sketch. Take some pictures. Take your iPad with a photograph of your backyard, so they can help you plan. You know, right now, can walk into a nursery or garden center and just start by. You know, it's just like ooh, that's pretty. Get that. Let's get some of that. And all of a sudden, you end up with this mishmash of stuff that's all pretty, but if you put it in the wrong place or don't arrange it properly. You know, a few years from now, you could have potentially you're doing it all over again because it didn't work. So that plan is pretty important, and that plan done by somebody that knows what they're doing can help you get the right plant in the right place at the right time, all of that, so that, you know, you, this investment is an investment, and it grows, and it enhances the quality of your lifestyle and the beauty of your house and your curb appeal and all of that.
Or worse, it doesn't work, and then they get so frustrated and disenfranchised, they don't ever try again, and it goes bare.
Or, yeah, there's that. You know, people like to succeed. It's no fun to fail, and people are busy and don't have, you know, every weekend to work in the garden. So you want to do it right and do it right the first time. And, you know, plants aren't terribly expensive, but 20 or 30 or 40 plants all at one time can get a little expensive. So the most expensive thing to do in landscaping is probably remove plants that have grown someplace for a long time and are the wrong plant. Now we have to call an arborist or call somebody out, and they got to cut it up. I have some friends that had a big mature eucalyptus tree taken down the other day, $5,000.
That's a mature eucalyptus.
It was huge. It was huge. I mean, it was 50 years old, one of those ones that was 50 or 60 feet tall, and you couldn't, you know, three people to put their arms around it.
It's a lot of weight.
And that wasn't necessarily a mistake, but it was one of those that had gotten to a point where it, yeah, maybe a little, you know, suspicious with stuff going on around there. So it's very expensive to have things taken out of your yard if they get growing and they're in the wrong place. So get that plan with a professional that you can find on the Find a Nursery on the plant-something.org website.
It's expensive, but it is kind of impressive to watch that operation with the cranes and the cabling and how fast they can break it all down and chop it up and haul it and ship it up. Expensive, but it is impressive. Let's get to the calls at 1-888-767-4348. 1-888, Rosie for you. We'll start with Bill in Scottsdale. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks. I just had a question about a shamalash that I've got, maybe a better way that I should stake it. We have a large shamalash in the yard, which has been great. We noticed a seedling come up about 20 feet away, and so we said, well, I'd love a second one. We transplanted it to a spot we wanted it. And probably the mistake we made here was we staked it and then continued to cut away low branches as it grew. And what I now have, as I take the stake away, is a 6-foot-tall tree with a trunk that's only about an inch in diameter. And, of course, it just wants to fall over, you know, to a 90-degree angle now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, wow, it started. We pulled all the stakes here last, November, when the branches were basically coming off. So it's held up over the winter and looked like the angles were all great. But now that all the greenery is coming on, it's loading itself down very much and falling over towards the ground, and we're trying to figure how do we move forward.
Real simple. You need to go get two stakes, the lodge pole type stakes, put them, you know, maybe 10 or 12 inches away from the trunk on either side of each other so that they're, you know, they're directly across from each other, out a ways from the trunk, and then alternately tie the tree back and forth to each stake so that the tree is supported by the two stakes on either side, but it also is not hard and fast tied. And we generally use some wire to go from the stake, and then we run it through something like a piece of an old garden hose, or if you can get some wide strapping webbed material, that you can put that attached to the tree or wrapped around the tree and secure your wire to that. So you have this tree that then has a stake on either side of it. It's in the middle, and it has some flex and movement to it so that it can actually exercise as the wind blows and it moves a little bit, and it will get stronger. And eventually, when you really, the kind of the telltale sign is when those wires or straps are just kind of hanging there totally limp and they're obviously not pulling or tugging on the tree, you know it can come off the stake. So it's a pretty simple procedure. If you drive around and look at, you know, new commercial landscape installations, you'll get an idea of what we're talking about. But you want to double stake it.
And that's not to say everyone you see that's done on a commercial application would be correct. You see a lot that are incorrect, or they've got them really taut and tight.
Well, true. But at least to get a diagram of what we're talking about,
you can
see that. Yeah, you don't want it to be, you know, the fact that you're going back and forth between the two stakes, it doesn't have to be tight. It's just kind of giving it a a loose support, and you want it to be loose. And as the tree grows in that, you may need to loosen those wires up a little bit. So kind of watch it, because you don't want even the webbing or strapping or the hose that you've run the wire through to girdle in or dig into the trunk.
Thanks for the call, Bill. We had a text in wanting to know about grass, and in particular rye. Can they plant it now and keep it through the summer?
You could plant it now, but you're not going to keep it through the summer.
if you could find the seed.
So, yeah, if you can even find any seed at this point, you could. And we've had people do that. They're having a wedding or an event or something in April, which, you know, the Bermuda grasses aren't going to be maybe quite greened up or full yet, so they'll throw down a temporary ryegrass lawn, you know, maybe for something specific. But if you're just doing it to try and overseed a lawn or have a lawn, you know, I would probably advise against it. Now, one thing you can do is lay sod that probably still has. In fact, it does. We just did an installation a couple days ago in a backyard, and it's still overseeded. So the sod you're getting is green with ryegrass, but it's overseeded. There's hybrid Bermuda underneath.
That's interesting. So it's a sod, a Bermuda sod.
They take their field of Bermuda grass or hybrid Bermuda grass and overseed it just like you do your lawn, so that they can continue to sell sod all winter long.
Sure.
And that will root, and then as soon as it starts warming up, it'll transition back to the hybrid Bermuda, which is the permanent lawn underneath.
And a beautiful day to get out there and just get your hands full of that earth soil and get it tilled up and just plant something. Plant-something.org will help you find a nursery or garden center near you to locate you to the best local resource in your neighborhood. It's 1-888-767-4348.